Good evening, everyone. I invite you to open with me into your Old Testament to the book of Psalms, Psalm 115. Psalm 115. We'll be there in just a few moments to read through a bit of that scripture together. It's good to see so many visitors tonight. We thank you for your presence, whatever the occasion may be. We appreciate it. We invite you to please be back with us each and every time that you have the opportunity. Tonight I want to talk to us about remembering our purpose as Christians. Well, we all know that those of us who have jobs, or you're lucky enough to be retired, you had a job, you understand these things. That when you are hired for a job, you have a purpose in life, right? They don't just hire you just to come and sit in the chair all day or whatever it is that you have to do. You're hired specifically for you walk in these doors and you accomplish X, Y, and Z for this company. You have a purpose. And you are to carry out that exact purpose. You are not to come in and make up your own rules for, well, I'm here now and you're going to pay me, and so I think I'll just do this the way I want to. Well, you might try to do that, but you might find yourself unemployed rather quickly. We have jobs. We have a purpose in that job. For a very short while after college, I worked for State Farm. And a part of that job... was being an agent, or not an agent, but someone that helped you with your car, if you totaled your car. That's a fun job, right? If you totaled your car, you come talk to me. Nobody's happy when their car is totaled, right? And there was a part of that job in which I had regulations, and I was allowed to give so much money for a car, so many additions, this and that, but I had ramifications in which I had to stay, these justifications, I had to stay within these lines. If I went outside of those lines, well, then I'm going to find myself in a manager's office. We understand these things, right? We have jobs. We have a purpose for that job. Well, the same is for us as Christians. The day that we put on Christ through baptism, God has a job for us, a purpose for us. And it is not for us to come into the body of Jesus Christ, become a member of the church and say, I'm here, God. Now I have a few things that I want to do, a few things I want to change. And so from time to time, I think it's good for us to go back and remember our purpose. Why? Because there's a lot of folks in the religious world that have full faith in Jesus Christ and God is their creator. But they've created their own purpose. And for that reason, that is why we have so many divisions within the body of Christ. That's why so many people wear so many different names. That's why so many people worship so many different ways, because they have forgotten their purpose. There in Psalm 115, if you're there with me, read with me in verse 1 through 3 again, as we did in the scripture reading just a moment ago. Psalmist writes, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory, because of your loving kindness, because of your truth. Why should the nations say, where now is their God, but our God is in the heavens? He does whatever he pleases. Continue down there with me in verse 9 through 15. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, the small together with the great. May the Lord give you increase, you and your children. May you be blessed of the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Note just some points that we've seen already. Not to us, O Lord. Not what we want, Lord, what you want. You are our protector. You are our shield. You are the maker of all heaven and earth. Look at 16, 17, and 18 with me. The heavens are the heavens of the Lord. But the earth he has given to the sons of men. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into silence. But as for us, we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forever. Praise the Lord. Well, if I could begin with a point number one with us this evening in remembering our purpose as Christians, it is simply to glorify Him. Just like a job when we were hired. The day that we were added to the church by God, by the blood of Jesus Christ, through our obedience, our repentance, and our baptism, our purpose in life became to glorify God, not ourselves, God. Jesus makes this statement as He's upon this earth in His sermon, Matthew chapter 5, 16. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and then do what? Glorify your Father who is in heaven. Turn with me, if you would, over to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, and if you want to make a marker there, I am going to come back to Romans chapter 11 in just a moment as well. But for now, I just simply want us to read one verse together, and that is found in Romans chapter 11 and verse 36, that says, "For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen." Brethren, let us never, ever forget our purpose as Christians. It's pretty simple. We don't need to add to anything in the Word. We don't need to take anything away from the Word. God does not need our help. God is the maker of heaven and earth. Jesus is our Savior. And our sole purpose upon this earth is to glorify our Creator and to serve our King. That's what we are told to do. That is what we should want to do. I'll briefly go back to where I began in Psalm 115. Now look at that little piece of scripture that I skipped over. I went through 1 through 3 and then began in verse 9. But if you go back and you look at this contrast in verses 4 through 8, this contrast to the maker of heaven and earth, the psalmist writes, "Their idols are silver and gold, the work of man's hands. They have mouths, but they cannot speak. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they cannot hear. They have noses, but they cannot smell. Hands, but they cannot feel. Feet, they cannot walk. They cannot make a sound with their throat. Those who make them will become like them." That's an important verse there. "Those who make them will become like them. Everyone who trusts in them." Friends, we do not serve a dead God. We do not serve something made with hands. And so if we want to make it our business to serve idols, then we'd say, no, we don't serve idols. Well, don't we sometimes? Have we ever put anything, let's say, like a job above our spiritual life? You take your pick, right? This is anything in life that we put above glorifying and serving our King becomes an idol. And we need to pay attention to our purpose because it reminds us that if we become like those dead things made with hands, then that will be our fate. Spiritual death. Spiritual death. Our God created the heavens and the earth. Our God is alive. Our Savior, the Son of God, bled for you. He bled for me. And so the very least that we could do is wake up each and every day and make it our goal and our purpose in life to make sure all of our actions, all of our thoughts, all the things that we do, they glorify God. So can we say that our thoughts and our actions and the things on our heart that nobody knows, are they all glorifying God? Or do we have pieces of our life that glorify God, all while holding back parts for us? Brother, we need to be about the work of remembering the purpose of glorifying God and not promoting ourselves. And so I ask ourselves the question, what is our goal in life? What is our goal in life? You know, I keep going back to this work analogy because I think it works for us in this lesson tonight. What happens sometimes in a new job? Well, it's nothing wrong. We want to do a good job. We want to work with all that we have, and we want to impress our boss. We want to impress our coworkers. There's nothing wrong with that. But we need to watch what our purpose is as Christians spiritually within the church. And not just within the church, but as we're outside of the body and we're out in the world in our daily actions. What is our goal? Our goal should always be on the Lord and never ourselves. But yet that, again, going back to my introduction thoughts, is why there's so much division in the Lord's church. Because so many people don't want to worry about glorifying God, and they just want to promote themselves and their ideas and how we want to worship, how we want to teach, how we want to treat one another. Brethren, we need to watch our attitudes spiritually about wanting to impress others. Are we supposed to be going about good deeds? Absolutely. But with the right heart. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talks about this in verses 1 through 6 when he says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. When you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. When you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." In verse 5, "When you pray, you're not like to be like the hypocrites. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have the reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room. Close your door. Pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." We are to be about doing good for the Lord and glorifying the Lord, but with the right attitude, with the right heart. Sometimes, why do we do good as Christians? Sometimes I firmly believe because we want to do right. We want to glorify God. We want to reflect our Lord. I know that about us. But I also see it in myself, and so I know I see it in others around me, that sometimes it can be a temptation to do good for brethren, for the world, in hopes that somebody sees us, right? That's not glorifying God. That's trying to glorify ourselves. What is our goal? Is it to glorify God, or is it to get others to see what we're doing? What is our goal? Is it to glorify God, or is it to be self-willed? I'm going to go over to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14, I want to read verses 11 through 18. We see this warning about our heart. We see this warning about our attitude. And what type of heart we should have. And it's not one that is focused on ourselves. As we said in Psalm 115, the psalmist wrote, "Not me, not us, but you, Lord." Proverbs 14, verse 11 says, "The house of the wicked will be destroyed, but the tent of the upright will flourish." Well-known verse in the Bible here, verse 12. "There's a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Even in laughter, the heart may be in pain, and the end of joy may be grief. The backslider in heart will have his fill of his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied with his. The naive believes everything, but the sensible man considers his steps. A wise man is cautious and turns away from evil, but the fool is arrogant and careless. A quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of evil devices is hated. The naive inherit foolishness, but the sensible are crowned with knowledge." Again, sometimes we can go about doing good, but we can lead ourselves down the wrong path. So is the way back to the job place, right? There are some times in life where we just know, we know in our heart. Come on, you know you're with me. We know in our heart at work that if they would just do it my way, it would work out a lot better. Come on. Anybody else? Right? If my coworker would just listen to me, I know I've done this before. I've made the mistake. I've learned this is the right way. If you would just listen to me and do it this way. Well, that's probably true in a lot of cases in all of our different jobs. But when it's talking about us as Christians and our purpose to glorify God, we need to watch ourselves when we're talking about worthy examples, not only to brethren, but to the world. And we can't be a people that want to go out and impress everybody. We can't be a people that's self-willed and says, my way is the only way. No, my way as a Christian is the way that submits to God and is humble and understands and remembers verse 12 that says there is a way which seems, every single one of us in this room, including myself, there has been times in our life when it seemed good to make a certain decision, but its end was not good and destructive. The only way that is true, the only way that is safe, is to go about God's way. We need to make sure that our goal is not to impress. It is not to be self-willed, but it is to be led by our God. Look with me over in Psalm 25, if you will. Psalm 25. We read here the words of David. And David's words should encourage and they should teach us again how our heart and our attitude should be. In Psalm 25, beginning in verse 1 through verse 5, it says, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be ashamed. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none of those who wait for you will be ashamed. Those who deal treacherously without cause will be ashamed." Look at verse 4 and 5 with me. "Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day." We need to be a people that glorify God, that wait upon God. Yes, we go about doing good. It's a part of being who we are. But we should do it always to reflect Jesus' light, not to impress people and get our own way. What is our purpose in life? Defining what our purpose is will define where we're going to be at the end of this life. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." What is our purpose? Is it to reap to our own self? Or is it to be godly and reflect His way, and to glorify Him, even as Jesus has told us from the very beginning of His teachings on the Sermon on the Mount? Our purpose should be to glorify Him. Secondly, I think we need to remember our place in life. And brothers and sisters in Christ, our place is beneath, not beside, not equal, but underneath our Lord and our Creator. Would you turn with me to Psalm 104? Psalm 104. Now here in Psalm 104, I'm going to go ahead and warn you. If you're reading with me or whether you're a listener, I'm going to read a few verses here. I'm going to read through, about 14, 15 verses. But it's for a purpose. Preacher can stand up here and say all the things in the world he has to say, but nobody and nothing can touch our hearts more than the Word of God. And just for a moment, as we consider this thought of our place, just listen to the way that God is described, His might, and who He is to His very core. Psalm 104, begin with me in verse 1. "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as with a cloak, stretching out heaven like a tent curtain, He lays the beam of his upper chambers in the waters. He makes the clouds his chariot. He walks upon the wings of the wind. He makes the winds his messengers, flaming fire his ministers. He established the earth upon its foundations, so that it will not totter forever and ever. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters were standing above the mountains, and at your rebuke they fled. At the sound of your thunder they hurried away. The mountains rose, the valleys sank down to the place which you established for them. You set a boundary that they may not pass over, so that they will not return to cover the earth. He sends forth springs in the valleys. They flow between the mountains. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. Beside them the birds of the heavens dwell. They lift up their voices among the branches. He waters the mountains from his upper chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of his works. Skip down to verse 32 with me. He looks at the earth and it trembles. He touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Nothing more needs to be said than to read those verses and to remind ourselves we're not equal with God. And I don't care how long we've been Christians. I don't care how much Bible knowledge we have. I don't care how many good deeds we do to one another or the lost. We are not our Creator. And I think we forget that sometimes as Christians. And sometimes we feel like somehow we deserve something from God. We deserve heaven. We deserve forgiveness of our sins. No, we don't. We have a purpose in life, to glorify the God that gave us that forgiveness. We are beneath Him and He owes us nothing. I mentioned a moment ago about keeping a marker in Romans chapter 11. I'm going to go back there once more. I'm going to back up beyond verse 36. I'm going to read with us verse 33, 34, and 35. Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and unfathomable His ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who became His counselor? Or who has first given to Him that it might be paid back to Him again? And the answer to that question is not a one of us. We didn't educate God. We didn't help Him do anything. He does not need us, brethren. We need Him. We need Him. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6 reminds us those that we might feel a little too high about ourselves and we might feel like we're deserving of something. The prophet reminds us what it is that even when we do good deeds for God, what they're like because of our sin. In Isaiah chapter 64 and 6, for all of us have become like one who is unclean. All of our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment. All of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. Take us away from who? Take us away from God. We understand clean and unclean by looking at the old law. And the prophet says that even when you do a righteous deed, something that God is pleased with, it's still like a filthy, bloody, unclean garment. Because we have clothed ourselves with sin until Jesus Christ came into this world and died on a cross, and we decided that we wanted to name Him our Lord. But without naming Him our Lord and without repenting away from sin and being baptized, we're still like that filthy garment. Our purpose in life, I believe, and I'm pointing right to myself, that every once in a while we just need to remind ourselves of that. so that we're not carried away by our own desires and thinking we have all the answers. No, brethren, at the end of the day, our job is to serve Him, not ourselves. That's what a Christian is supposed to be. Somebody totally different. Somebody that's not all about their self, but all about doing what God would have us to do. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and 13 and 14 breaks it down very simply for us. The conclusion when all has been heard is this: fear God, keep His commandments. Because this applies to every person, for God will bring every act into judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. First, let's remember our purpose. Glorify Him, not ourselves. Second, where is our place? Brethren, it is not equal. It is beneath and in a place that we need to be serving. And thirdly, this evening, I ask us to consider what is our motivation for every single day in life. When we wake up and we want to make wise and good godly decisions, what is that motivation all about? Do we wake up and do we desire to be godly and righteous and to be a changed people? Or are we motivated by our own self-desires and we want what we want, how we want it, when we want it? Because that's not what, it's not what type of person Jesus wants following Him. Look with me, if you would, in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, Jesus lays it out again very simply as other verses we have read tonight. Jesus in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 and 25, Jesus says, If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? It is good, it is proper for us as Christians to go back to the Scriptures and align ourselves with how God would have us to live our lives. Because, brethren, it is simple and easy for us to go down a wrong path from time to time. For us to feel as if we deserve heaven, that God in heaven should just be sitting there waiting for our prayers, waiting to forgive us, and that how I want it and how we want all things should be the way it is. What's our motivation? Let me tell you what God asked our motivation to be. Would you turn with me over to Deuteronomy chapter 10? Deuteronomy chapter 10, and we'll end our time together there in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Here Moses is repeating some core basic principles to the Israelites, for they are going to eventually leave him behind, and while they're going to accept the wonderful gift, that is the promised land that God has promised to them. And what are some of the key aspects of following Yahweh that Moses wants them to remember? Look in Deuteronomy chapter 10, begin in verse 12 with me. Now Israel, what does the Lord your God require? Notice that, require from you. But to first, fear the Lord your God. Second, to walk in His ways and love Him. Third is love Him. Fourth, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And then reiterated in verse 13, and to keep the Lord's commandments and His statutes, which I am commanding you today. And notice this, I find this interesting. For your good, not for the Lord's good. Israel, do these things, fear Him, obey Him, love Him, serve Him for your good. And so I turn that back around to us today as New Testament Christians. We must remember our purpose, but not for the sake of just law keeping. Because, brethren, when we become selfless, and when we serve one another, and put God and others before ourselves, and we do everything in life to glorify Him, guess what? It helps us. It molds us. It is for our good. I close with us tonight by continuing to read past where we just did in Deuteronomy chapter 10. Verse 14. Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the highest heavens, the earth, and all that is in it. Yet on your fathers did the Lord set His affection to love them, and He chose their descendants after them, even you above all peoples, as it is this day. So, verse 16. So circumcise your heart and stiffen your neck no longer. For the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of the lords, the great, the mighty, the awesome God who does not show partiality nor take a bribe. We serve the Lord of lords, the God of gods. If you are a child of God tonight, then just take these words in that we've read. Let it motivate and encourage us to go out of here being people with a purpose, the right purpose. Let all of our deeds reflect Jesus and our God, not ourselves. And if you have not yet put on Christ, I beg you. I beg you to hear the words that we just read. There is no other God. There is only one. Won't you serve Him? Because if you'll serve Him and put Him on through baptism, He will bless you greatly. But you must come to Him. And you must stiffen your neck no longer. If you're ready to be baptized tonight, can we pray for you? Can we do anything to help you spiritually? Please make your way forward right now as we stand and as we sing.